All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is truth, your truth, that we need to hear this morning. Lord, we are fools if we do not take note of what is going on in our world today. And even more foolish if we do not take note of the consequences that are coming in the world to come. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that we need to be more serious than ever about our role as a child of God, if we are indeed a child of God. Bless and guide this time, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Take your Bibles, please, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be getting there shortly. But before we do, I want to tell you something. You are a target. As David Gibbs told us when he was here for the men's for our Awake America meeting, listen, we've lost the culture. You understand? America is not lost yet, but we've lost the culture. And for that reason, America is now undecidedly, absolutely anti-Christian as a whole. And we need to understand that. This last week, like I said, Christians were martyred. Christians martyred in America. Stood up. They were asked a question, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes." "Stand up. You're about to see God." Bang! That happened. By the way, we've been to Roseburg, Oregon. We've been through there several times going up to see my son. It is a quaint little town. It's beautiful. It's great there. And hell and Satan visited there this last week. And in nothing flat, it wound up going political, and that's absolutely disgusting to me. But then again, it's spiritual warfare. But that's not the only thing that took place. There was a journalist, and I use the term loosely, there was a journalist that wrote an article about us in the Huffington Post. And she decried how we believers are killing Christianity. And these are the reasons why, although she would just as soon see Christianity dead. She said this, "First of all, you're fighting battles you've already lost." I'm sorry. We're on the winning side. But she said, "Marriage equality is basically over and most Americans have moved on aside from the Kim Davis circus." Number two, deciding who's Christian based on how much they hate gays. I don't hate gays. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. She says, "Here's the problem. Most Americans aren't this exclusionary, but the people with the biggest podium for their beliefs are the ones who do feel this way." I'm sorry. We aren't able to get on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, and MSNBC and spew this. We're in local fellowships like this. They're the ones that own the waves. But we have the God of heaven and the Holy Spirit. Number three, treating women like cattle. Now wait a minute. Let's see. Who is it? Who is it that winds up misusing and abusing women so much that I can't even tell details from the pulpit? Oh, that's right. That's Islam. What does the Bible say? Let's see. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. but we're treating women like cattle. I don't think it's us that are ripping women's bodies apart in the womb of their mother. Number four, rejecting science. You see, we're rejecting science because we reject climate change. We reject evolution, the Big Bang, reparative therapy on LGBT people. We reject sexual orientation, gender identity, or reproductive health. I'm all for healthy reproduction because God created the family. It gets better or worse, whatever your view. Number five, condemning everyone else's sex lives but their own. The religious right takes controlling the sex lives of others to ridiculous extremes. Excuse me, I'm not trying to control anybody. I'm telling them how God made them. Period. And by the way, I think God has something to say about it. Number six, telling people freedom of religion is only for Christians. Again, excuse me? It was Christians that laid their lives on the line for other people to be able to do, to worship as they do. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so you know what? We're preaching this because guess who they need. And oh, by the way, Islam is not just a religion. It's a total way of life that cannot coincide with anything when it comes to the Bible or the American Constitution. And oh, by the way, Ben Carson was right in what he said. Number seven, telling us all the awful things they'd do if they didn't believe in God. What she's really saying is this, when one of God's people gets up and says, you know what, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'd be living a life of wickedness. I'm not bragging on it. I praise God He saved me out of it. Number eight, and this is a scary one, folks, taking out their phobias on children. I'm sorry. But I'm going to tell my grandchildren there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you try to stop it, just wait and see what can happen. Be sure your sin will find you out. Number nine, equating religious freedom with a special right to discriminate. Again, we're not the ones that are going around and saying, we don't serve your kind here. We're saying, you know something? When it comes to promoting sin and wickedness that you embrace, we're not choosing to participate. You can come, if a homosexual person came in to this church, could they join us next door if we had fellowship? Absolutely. Would we give them money if they needed help legitimately? Absolutely. Would we give them the gospel? You betcha. You betcha. And number 10, showing how much you love people by harassing them. You know what she talks about, what she means by harassing? Witnessing to people. But it gets even better, or worse. There's a man on CNN, Chris Cuomo, who confronted the individual that was responsible for the videos that came out and showed what Planned Parenthood is doing. Once again, ripping babies' bodies apart and selling those pieces. Now, we have decried the Nazis for what they did. I've got news for you. Nazis are alive and well and living in America, and many of them are working for Planned Parenthood. when it comes to this kind of thing. Folks, this absolutely infuriates me. But what really got to me is what Chris Cuomo said. And sadly, there are a lot of people that are today in control. Chris Cuomo did this on his Twitter account. The law is the national religion, not your faith. Now, how many of you had read that already? Raise your hand. All right. You understand what's taking place here? See, if the law doesn't agree with them, they'll just kind of leave it alone. Like the Defense of Marriage Act. Our current president said, we're not going to enforce that law. We're not going to defend that law. But then you let a ruling come down. By the way, not a law, but a ruling, because the Supreme Court does not make law. And now all of a sudden, we're lawbreakers. Well, this is when we come to this position, folks. We ought to obey God rather than man. And that's exactly what we're going to do. But understand, there's a way to do it. At the beginning of this year, we started on Sunday nights on the War on the Saints. We're now coming to a close on that specific study, although it will be coming up in the months and years ahead as the Lord allows and as the Lord tarries. We've come a long way, but there is one more instruction that the Lord gives when it comes to the armor that we are to wear. And I want us to take this serious. I want everybody's attention. Please, this is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. Paul, through the Spirit of God, has guided us when it comes to the gear that we are to wear, the armor. That we must have to battle the world that is filled with three things: sin, sickness, and Satan. You see, those things that we're given are empowered by prayer. They are wielded by prayer, and the skills to use them are honed in prayer. There's a man by the name of Leonard Ravenhill that wrote a book entitled Why Revival Tarries. And in that book he said this: no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, but few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. A man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge. Listen to this, please. A man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge, even Bible knowledge, but he prays because his soul is hungry for God. I have several quotes I have had written down for many years in the back of my Bible here. Things that I used when I was teaching in Christian school, when I was in construction. Also, things that just really spoke to my heart. There is a chapter here, not a chapter, but a paragraph here that I have from E.M. Bounds, who has written much on prayer, and he said this: men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer. Men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. It is not great talents. Please listen, guys, especially. It is not great talents or great learning or great preachers that God needs, but men great in holiness, great in faith, great in love, great in fidelity, great for God. Remember, as we read this, we're still in the realm of spiritual warfare when we get to this particular passage. I'd like once again, though, to start at verse 10. If you would please go to Ephesians 6. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, this is what we've been studying on Sunday nights. If you haven't been here, this is where we've been the last couple of months. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Here's our problem. With too many Christians, this is what is true about them. For we wrestle not. I mean, you know, why get into it when you can just get along? I pray that we find enough of God's people that are as serious about the spiritual warfare as the people, the minions, the useful idiots, as Lenin used to say about them, of Satan. This is what is needed today. The reason why we lost the culture is because they took it more serious than we did. Let's continue. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, in high, remember this, high places, because we're going to go back to this later on, high or heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and the days are evil. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now remember, if you were here on Sunday night, and if you weren't here, you need to hear this. When it talks about taking the shield of faith, we're talking about receiving it. In other words, it's being given to us. On the one hand, we take that which is part of the armor, the first things that were listed, and we put them on. But now, these last three things are given to us. The shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But now please understand something. These things that we can wear and we can possess and we can use do nothing unless we have verse 18. And this is where we end with this, the spiritual warfare. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see that word, always, praying always. In other words, literally in every season, when there is opportunity and there is necessity. And there is both opportunity and necessity today. We need to be praying. With all, that is every kind of prayer. You know, there's all kinds of weapons that a soldier can use. There are all kinds of weapons that we can use as well. There are all kinds of prayers. There's formal prayers, informal prayers. There's silent, vocal, public, private, spontaneous, deliberate praying. Supplication, intercession, confession, adoration, prayers of humiliation and thanksgiving. There are even prayers of questioning. You see those in the Psalms. And by the way, as the Spirit guides, as we saw this last Wednesday night, as the Spirit guides us, just like David, you'll see there were times when David started out, "Lord, why?" And by the time he ends the psalm, he is confident in his God. You know, sometimes you're going to go to the Lord, you're going to go, "Lord, why?" You ever done that? Been there, done that. "Lord, why? Lord, how come? Lord, this is so hard. Lord, I don't understand." But listen, you let the Spirit guide you, you get into the Word, and you wind up hearing His promises, and praise God! You've got an answer. You've got an answer. That's why we're going tonight, eyes on His promises. But we had to see this first. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's a tremendous, tremendous man of God from England 50 years ago, wrote this: "Our ultimate position as Christians is tested by the character of our prayer life. A person may be in a Bible school, a seminary graduate, he might be a missionary, he might be a pastor, but his deep knowledge of any relationship to God are measured by his prayer life. If knowledge about God and the things of God do not drive us to know Him more personally, we can be sure that our true motivation and commitment are centered in ourselves rather than in Him." Go back to the verse, please. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication." Now that word prayer there was a general word. It was a very spiritual word, but a general word. Now we're looking at supplication, dealing with a special kind of prayer, an imploring request. Why do we have specific prayers? I'll tell you why. Because we have specific problems. The enemy comes with specific lies. Lies that deal with you. A lie that might not work on you, but it'll work on me, or it might not work on me, but it'll work on you. We have an enemy comes with specific lies. We have an enemy or life that comes with specific challenges. Your challenge might be different than my challenge. Because maybe your job situation or your family situation is different. But they come. And so we need to pray specifically. I pray different for Ed Fogle than I do for Ed Brandenburg. I pray different for Bruce than I pray for Mike. You see? There's different things that are going on. Everybody has challenges. I'll never forget when I learned that. That there was an evangelist that I knew that he said, "You know something? In 15 years of ministry, I have learned this. Everybody has at least one major challenge in their life." If you've got a major challenge in your life, lift your hand up. Now, do we need prayer? Do we need specific prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. But that prayer must be in the Spirit. It's like we heard this last Wednesday night, because we're dealing with prayer now, that here the Holy Spirit comes and He's joining with us. He's in the harness with us. Why? "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit gives intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered." That's why we do that. So as Paul told us there in Romans 8, "The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Look at the word "watching." It literally means to stay awake. Don't sleep. Now, physically, yes, we need to sleep. But spiritually speaking, we cannot snooze when it comes to difficulties around us. Oh, God gives rest. Please, don't misunderstand that. But there is a vigilance when it comes to our Christian walk, when it comes to our lives. Because next, you don't know, bam, what's going to happen? I mean, here we were, my wife and I are getting ready to go to sleep, and we get a phone call. The church is on fire. Oh, okay, I'll be there in the morning. I need to sleep, you understand? No, no, no. And the same thing happens with family challenges. All of a sudden you get a phone call. This happens or that happens, whatever it might be. So we need to be watching. Expositors said this. This great requirement of standing ready for the combat can be made good only when prayer, constant, earnest, spiritual prayer, is added to the careful equipment with all the parts of the panoply. If you don't have prayer, you can have all the armor you want, but if you don't have prayer, you don't have a prayer. That's just the way it is. Thereunto, with a view to prayer and supplication, perseverance here means to give constant attention to a thing, to give unremitting care to a thing for all saints. You know why? Because we all need it. Because this is the way it is. Because you know something? We're in an age, like I said, look, the families of these murder victims from Roseburg, they're not going to get invited to the White House. It's not going to be called a hate crime. See, the problem today in America is not that we're losing freedom of religion. We're losing freedom of biblical Christianity. They're putting Islam in the public schools. And the Freedom from Religion Foundation is saying nothing about it. So what? And oh, by the way, even though atheism has been declared a religion, it's their religion. Many of them. So again, no problem as far as they're concerned. But when it comes to biblical Christianity, it's take the nativity scene out and take the cross down as far as they're concerned. Now, here's the thing that we've got to remember. The Lord told us this is the way it would be. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But again, to be overcomers, we must be intercessors. And so we must pray. We must pray. Jesus said in Luke 21:36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." That is the verse that Paul quotes here. Among other things, this is what the earliest Christians in Jerusalem were doing. Acts 2. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." Folks, this is why Faith Baptist gets together on Wednesday night. Because we need to pray. You know what we're going to have this morning? We're going to have a prayer meeting. You know why? We need to pray. Because we don't know what's going to challenge us down the road this next week. How many of you knew that you were involved in spiritual warfare this last week? Raise your hand. You see? This is why we pray for each other. This is why the pastor prays for Norm. And I hope and pray that Norm prays for the pastor. This is why we stop and think about people that are having difficult situations. This is why, by the way, we embrace people that want to come in and embrace what we embrace. We're not looking to discriminate except this. We hate sin. And we want to see people come to Christ. Paul urged his readers in Romans 12, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." The apostle Paul assured Timothy that he prayed for him. In 2 Timothy 1:13, 1:3, he said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. Edgar Yakub, you've got young people. I'm loving to seeing the youth group grow in the church here. These young people need prayer because they are absolutely up against it. The early church knew the importance of prayer, and God honored their prayers. Even when it seemed that their prayers were weak. Lord, get Peter out of prison, we pray. Lord, Rhoda comes up. You wouldn't believe it. Peter's out there. There's no way. You're lying. You've seen a spirit. You've done something. Isn't that crazy? You know, we wind up praying a prayer, and then the Lord answers it. You know, we pass out. God answered the prayer. You got any prayers you want answered? Hot doggies, I sure do. Did I say hot doggies? There is no time when we do not need to pray, and no time when God will not hear our prayers. Only through a regular and sincere prayer life can God's Holy Spirit add wisdom to our knowledge and how He does this. Jesus had a prayer for us in John 17. Lord, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. To pray at all times. To have that praying always. To have what Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. To pray at all times is to live in continued God consciousness. Where everything we see and experience becomes a kind of prayer. Lived in deep awareness of and surrender to our Heavenly Father. You get out in the world, Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. I've been with people like that. They're thanking the Lord all the time. They're talking to the Lord. You almost feel like you're standing on holy ground, which, by the way, you are when they're praying like that. I love this. Many years ago, there was a man of God that wrote this. O Lord, in prayer I launch far out into the internal world. And on that broad ocean, my soul triumphs over all evils on the shores of mortality. Time, with its amusements and cruel disappointments, never appears so inconsiderate as then. In prayer, O God, I see myself as nothing. I find my heart going after Thee with intensity, and I long with vehement thirst to live with Thee. Blessed be the strong winds of the Spirit that speed me on my way to the New Jerusalem. In prayer, all things here below vanish and nothing seems important but holiness of heart and the salvation of others. In prayer, all my worldly cares and fears and anxieties disappear and are as little insignificance as a puff of wind. In prayer, my soul inwardly exalts with thoughts of what Thou art doing for Thy church. And I long that Thou shouldest get Thyself a great name from sinners returning to Thee. In prayer, I am lifted above the frowns and flatteries of life to taste the heavenly joys. Entering into the eternal world, I could give myself to Thee with all my heart forever. In prayer, I can place all my concerns in Thy hands to be entirely at Thy disposal, having no will or interest of my own. In prayer, I can intercede for my friends, ministers, sinners, the church, Thy kingdom, with greatest freedom and brightest hope as a son to his Father and as a lover to his beloved. And so, O God, help me to pray always and never to cease. You know what? Satan doesn't fear disjointed prayer. And by the way, we get so disjointed when we pray. He doesn't fear eloquent prayer. This is what Satan fears. When you go to prayer and you're at the throne of grace, he'll do anything and everything he can to get you ripped out of that kind of thing. John Phillips wrote this down, and I thought this was great. I want to give this to you. If you take down just a few notes, I just want you to write down a few things. You see, when we pray, we enter into three realms. When we pray, we enter into three realms. Number one, the hidden place. The hidden place. The hidden place is wherever you go to pray by yourself. I find mine sometimes in my pickup truck, in my office here, in my office at my home, sometimes this room, this auditorium right here. Wherever it might be, I don't know where yours is, and sometimes your quiet place can actually be made in the middle of a busy place. But you know, in your thoughts, when your eyes are closed, you're with God. So there's the hidden place. Number two, there's the heavenly place. And this is where the spiritual warfare comes in. That verse that we read there in Ephesians, the word high can also be translated heavenly. And here's where the difficulty comes in. That is where, that heavenly place is where you wind up having, for prayer, the spiritual warfare. That's where, number one, underneath that, you'll have wandering thoughts. W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. Wandering thoughts. Your mind will just kind of drift. You'll have wandering thoughts. All of a sudden, something will come to mind. It's like, oh, I was supposed to do this. Or I wonder what's happening tonight. Number two, you'll have wicked thoughts. I thought that's a good thing to point out. I don't know about you, but there are times that I'll go to prayer and there is stuff that comes to mind. Maybe something that I read that I shouldn't have never read. Maybe something that I saw in a movie, in a television show, whatever, that winds up coming and just should have never seen that. But wicked thoughts wind up coming. Junk thoughts. But they're wicked. Number three, there's worldly thoughts that wind up coming. All of a sudden, you've got things that come to your mind, and in your mind, suddenly you're thinking that it's more important for me to get up and make this phone call than it is to be talking with the Lord. Or I've got to make a note about something. I remember a dear friend of mine, what he would do is he would put a piece of paper and a pen next to him when he was praying. And if there was something that came to mind, he wrote it down real quickly and he got back to prayer. But see, that's what happens in the heavenly places. We are on our knees or we're praying and we are going after the Lord and all of a sudden this stuff is coming. But praise God, we go from the hidden place to the heavenly place to the holy place. Wherein we wind up finding ourselves with the Lord. And we know where we are. And with spiritual eye of faith, we see the throne of grace. There's a song that we've sung before. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God. I love that song. And next thing you know, we are involved in what Paul called in Ephesians 6, all prayer. We're involved in adoration. We're involved in thanksgiving. We're involved in confession. We're involved in praise. There are times when I go out on my bike and the sun is setting and the first way that I ride my bike is going to the east, but then I turn around and I'm coming back and that sun is starting to set and I'm telling you, you talk about a time to praise God. Because you see that with the clouds sometimes and it just, I actually stopped one time. I had to get this picture. I mean, it was beautiful. That's when you praise God. All of this must be in the Spirit. That's why we need to take seriously what David Gibbs talked about when it comes to getting clean. Not getting cleaner, but clean. Praying, confessing, understanding that if I regard, like the Scripture says, iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He wants you to take care of the sin that's in your life. And by the way, if we don't do it, we won't be able to take care or help through the Spirit's guidance the sin that is in the world. We can't embrace our own sin and decry theirs. We can't preach against homosexuality if we're impassionately embracing pornography or an angry, bitter spirit. We can't do it. So we need to be clean. So we need to pray. Because that's where we confess. And that's where we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I am in such need. Here's what your word says. Lord, this is what I'm involved in. Lord, I need help. Listen, this is never going to be the biggest church in town. That is not what we desire. And I tell you what, if it was the church that everybody in town liked, I'd be fearful. But I tell you what we can be known as. We can let God take care of the numbers, but the numbers that are here, if those numbers are praying, I would love for Faith Baptist to be known in heaven as a praying church. A church that loves the Lord, seeks His glory, and has a passion for the lost. But none of that will happen without prayer. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, if we don't take this time and this place serious, we are so missing. We're missing the boat. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand that if we take the armor on, we need the prayer that makes it work. Help us to see this. Help us to see, Lord, the reality of the spiritual warfare in this day and age. But Lord, also, to see the victory, the absolute victory that is ours in a praying life. With heads bowed and eyes closed,